Hi, it's Colleen O'Brien for Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. I can't believe I waited so long to have LASIK. 2018 is your year for LASIK. Don't wait another year. For a limited time, receive $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Go online to schedule your free consultation.
This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Joining us now, CBS correspondent David Begno. Now, one of the things that you've been known for is your crusade to get help for Puerto Rico. And just to be clear, did you have a previous connection with Puerto Rico in some way, or was that just an assignment you happened to draw?
I had never been to Puerto Rico, and to be honest with you, I didn't even know a Puerto Rican. I don't know if I had met anyone who was from Puerto Rico.
And yet, you were probably responsible more than anybody else for calling attention to the fact that after Hurricane Maria, the work in Puerto Rico, the restoration work in Puerto Rico, the recovery work went very slowly and is still far from done. So have you kept in touch with contacts back there? And what is the status now?
Look, I just heard from Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez, who represents New York City and areas of the city. And she just sent me a video that she took from over the weekend in Jabucoa. And she said it was shameful what she saw. People still standing in line waiting for food and water. Look, we are more than 70 days from a hurricane. And it's interesting to hear you say that I'm on a crusade. Do I feel like I'm on a crusade? No. Does it appear that way? Possibly. But here's the bottom line. I covered Harvey in Houston. Irma in Florida, now Maria in Puerto Rico, and I've covered natural disasters for the last 10 years. I have never seen an emergency become seemingly endless. I have never seen the resources of the American government apparently be thrown at a disaster, yet they can't seem to stop the bleeding. It's unlike anything I've covered. And of course, they'll tell you, well, you know, let's put it in perspective. It's an island. We can't get everything. Okay, got it. But why didn't the governor of Puerto Rico request mutual aid before the hurricane? He has a number of reasons, but the bottom line is he didn't. Why didn't the government have more resources stationed off the coast of the island before the storm moved in? Remember, Hurricane Irma sort of swatted Puerto Rico before it hit Florida, but it didn't do a whole lot of damage. But it happened the week before Maria. They were already in place. They had the mindset that it was coming. How is it that the American government seemingly couldn't respond faster? FEMA says for the first time, Hurricane Maria and Puerto Rico, for the first time, they have for more than a month now delivered food and water to people after a disaster. Never have they done it for this long, and they're still doing it. You've still got, I don't know, what is it, roughly 1,000 people that are still in shelters right now. And I just left Florida. I just left Florida 12 hours ago in Orlando, where I met Puerto Ricans who are still showing up at the airport. In fact, when I walked into the Orlando airport on Tuesday morning at around 6 a.m., I met a woman named Maria. She was sitting there with her mother and her two children, one of whom is autistic. They arrived at midnight because it was the cheapest flight they could get. And they were waiting for the Disaster Relief Center to open so they could do what? Get as much help as they could, starting with a hotel room. She has no family. She has no friends here. She found hope in a simple hotel room. That's what's going on more than 70 days after the storm.
The Trump administration has said one of the problems is that Puerto Rico was in such bad shape before Hurricane Maria hit. What's your take on that?
That is absolutely correct. The electrical system, the power grid there was pathetic. It was pitiful. In fact, people who live there will tell you if you live in Puerto Rico, you're used to the power going out every so often. It happens regularly. It's a part of life there. But look, they still only have about 50% of the island that has power. And that figure is controversial. And it's contested by most people who are there. Because believe it or not, the power authority says we have about 50 to 55% power generation, but they can't tell us the number of consumption. They can't tell us how many people actually have it at home. You have kids who are going to school in Puerto Rico today. Most of the schools in Puerto Rico don't have power. The requirement is it must have water. If the school doesn't have water, they're not allowed to open. But most kids are studying using the daylight that's coming through the window. That's just the reality of life in Puerto Rico. And from my experience, having not known a Puerto Rican or been to the island before, I can tell you from our reporting, they are some of the most resilient, patient people. But I have always said when people have come up to me and said, this seems to be personal for you. I don't know that it's personal, but it should be known that Puerto Rico doesn't seem to be getting the resources as fast as other people got them. And again, to add context, that, you know, FEMA will be the first to tell you, well, David, you were in Houston. You saw what happened during Harvey. When the hurricane hit Harvey, the Cajun Navy came from Louisiana, men and women in their boats, and others came from Austin and Arkansas. That's true. But the reality is, what took so long to get it to Puerto Rico? Let's say they weren't well prepared before the storm. Fine. What took so long to get it there after? Major General Jeff Buchanan, who was the man who oversaw the federal troops in Puerto Rico. I interviewed him many times. And I remember on our last interview, kind of an exit interview, I said to him, what do you regret? And one of the things he said is, could we have acted faster? Possibly. Could we have started airdropping servicemen out of helicopters to get boots on the ground faster? Possibly. And as much as that sounds, but I remember him saying to me, well, but David, we did that in Baghdad to secure the city. And I said, but General, should it have been done here? And he said, possibly. He at least conceded that. He also acknowledged when the military came in and they said, well, you know, the National Guard's going to distribute the food. That's not our job to do. He also acknowledged after a few weeks of watching it not working well, he sent the federal troops in and said, listen, the Puerto Rico National Guard is not able to do it as fast as we need it to be done. So I'm going to have my federal troops start delivering food to the municipality. It has been a mess from top to bottom. And regardless what side of the political spectrum you're on, everyone can concede, including the governor of the island, that it has not gone perfectly.
So whose responsibility is it to lead this recovery effort?
The governor of Puerto Rico, and everyone will tell you that. In fact, when there's a news conference, the governor stands there, and Mike Byrne, who's the federal coordinating officer for FEMA, basically the man running all the FEMA operation in Puerto Rico, he stands on the side of the governor. And he is fond of saying, we serve at the command and pleasure of the governor. The governor is a guy whose father was governor many years ago. The governor, Ricardo Rosselló, is in his late 30s. Didn't have much political experience before running for governor and just took office in January. And to his credit, for Hurricane Irma, which was the week before Maria, he took some credit for, he took some flack, I'm sorry, for telling people they needed to evacuate. And then when Maria rolled around, I remember walking down the street with him 3 days before Maria made landfall, and he sounded dire. I mean, the words that he was using were catastrophic and the worst that you could use. Well, he was right. Except he was underestimating just how bad it was going to be.
So people did not listen to him? They didn't believe it was going to be that serious?
No, look, they listened to him. I mean, look when you live on the island, where are you, as some people have told me, where am I going to go? If I leave my house, am I going to go to my aunt's house? I'm on an island. I can't drive 6 hours. And if you didn't get out, you know, within 48 hours or at least 24 hours of the storm, you were stuck. But no, in all fairness, the governor sounded the alarm, but the governor didn't request mutual aid. What does that mean? For example, in Florida, when Irma hit Florida, Florida's governor had thousands of power workers on standby, pre-positioned in areas of the state so they could respond right away. And these were workers that were coming from other states, other companies, all around the area. That never happened. And again, the governor of Puerto Rico has a number of excuses as to why he didn't do it. But when he testified on Capitol Hill recently, he was grilled by lawmakers as to why he didn't do that.
Well, that would explain why it was delayed back then. But it doesn't explain why there would be so little progress now. I mean, are there crews now actively trying to either restore or, I guess in Puerto Rico's case, rebuild the power grid?
There are crews, and here's what the governor did. You heard about that Whitefish fiasco, I'm sure.
Right.
Well, Whitefish has left the island now. So what do you have? The governor has turned to the governor of Florida and the governor of New York, both of whom have sent power workers from companies in those states to the island. Now, listen, I have gotten reports from people who were there who are saying, hey, listen, we could be doing more work. I worked for this company in New York, and I kind of been sitting around for the last 2 days. I sure would like to be out working. So they're even having a tough time getting enough poles to the island so these guys can get to work. Listen, I don't want to be, you know, a Debbie Downer across the board. Are things happening that are making it better? Yes. But if you were there and you live in this country and you realize that the people in Puerto Rico are Americans too, you would walk around that island and shake your head most of the time and say, you wonder why we couldn't get things done faster for them.
Is there an exodus going on now?
Well, listen, you have more than 200,000 Puerto Ricans who have arrived in Florida. Now, be careful with that terminology. The state of Florida has not said that 200,000 Puerto Ricans have all gone through the Disaster Relief Center and said, I'm migrating to Florida. These are 200,000 people who have arrived in Florida from Puerto Rico since October 3rd. At least 30,000 of them have gone to the Disaster Relief Center and asked for services like, can you help me enroll my kids in school or get into college? Can you help me find a job? Can you help me get a hotel room? Most of the Puerto Ricans living in Florida, for example, are staying with relatives, but you've got several thousand that are staying in hotel rooms. I met a family of four that's been living in a hotel room since September 24th. They got off the island 4 days after the storm, and they bounced around from hotels in Florida. They're grateful for the assistance that they've been given to stay in a hotel. But as the 17-year-old daughter told me, you start to lose your sanity after a while when you start looking at those four walls of a hotel room. You have some depression that's starting to set in, some hopelessness. You have Puerto Ricans who not only are there staying in hotel rooms, but they'd like to get a job. They'd like to get some work. And this, what I'm about to say, does not represent everyone, but the Puerto Ricans that I've spoken to, on or about a half dozen to a dozen, most of all said, we do not plan to go back. Some have said, I would like to go back, but others have said, listen, in the little bit of time I've been here and what I've experienced, I just don't want to go back to life on the island. And the governor of Puerto Rico, by the way, has predicted. He has predicted since day one that if things don't happen faster, there would be a mass exodus to the U.S. mainland.
And what about you? Are you going back?
No doubt. Definitely. The question is when.
CBS correspondent David Begnaud. David, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.